You are now listening to Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast Season 4. Chill! Hello, everybody. This is your boy Ken, aka Mr. Gentleman of RPG and the Premier Boy Podcast. Welcome to another new episode of Mr. Gentleman at the Podcast. Hope all is well. And I also got my special guest. She is an author. She is a poet. She even does art. She has a book called Release. And we're going to talk to her in a few. She is my last guest for the season. She is the last guest for season 4. And yeah, so y'all already know what to do. Sit back, relax, and I'll be right back.
Hey, this is your girl, Vanna B, and you're kicking it and listening to my boy on Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. At the time, I will be giving y'all the Gentleman Facts quote of the day. And today's quote of the day is, even when you fall, just get up and try again. And what I mean by that is, even when you fall on the floor, even when you're at your lowest, always get up and try again. And not the end of the road. Keep pushing and stay strong. And that is today, Gentleman Facts quote of the day. Hello, everybody. This is your boy Ken, aka Mr. Gentleman, and I am the host of Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast. And this commercial break is brought to you by Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast. On Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast, we interview many guests about their life journey, pretty much where they come from and where they at now. Also, promoting their brands or whatever they're doing at the time they come on the show. We also have the host talk about personal stories about himself and everything that he's been through. And also, we have fun conversation about anything music, anything old school, relationships, wrestling, and many more. And y'all can tune in to Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast every Sundays at 12 a.m. We are also on every Thursdays at 12 a.m. for Spin-Off Series Thursdays, where we have all of Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast spin-off series all in one day, where we have a conversation about music podcasts every first Thursday at 12 a.m. The old school show with myself and the star Roddy Rod every fourth Thursday at 12 a.m. And we have Date Night Talk podcast with myself and Miss Vanna B every second and third Thursday at 12 a.m. And y'all can tune in to Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Pods, and many more. Or y'all can check it out on the official website of Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast, www.realmrgentlemanlifestylepodcast.com, www.realmrgentlemanlifestylepodcast.com. And tune in every Sundays and Thursdays at 12 a.m. for Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast. Thank y'all for tuning in to this commercial break of Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast. Back to your regularly scheduled program. Cheer! Ah, Hello, everybody. This is your boy Ken, aka Mr. Gentleman. And I just want to say that for some reason, the interview came out staticky. I don't know this reason. So I apologize to my guest, Ms. Vannavello, for that issue. I will get that fixed in future episodes. But yeah, once again, I want to apologize for that. And hopefully, this issue don't turn y'all off from the episode. So please do check out the episode. It was a really good interview, and please check it out. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Vannavello, and you're listening to Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast.
Yes, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. And at this time, I got my special guest. Now, she is an author. She is a poet. She got a new book called Release. We got Vannavello in the building. Vanna, how you doing?
Hi, Ken. Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, welcome to the show. And by the way, you are the first person that had the same name as somebody else on the show. Yeah, somebody else named Vanna on the show like a couple episodes ago. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a really pretty name, so I understand.
Yeah, it's a dope name. So, you know, are you ready for this interview?
Yes, I am. I'm ready, raring to go.
All right. So, we're going to start with, where are you from?
Okay, so I'm from Trinidad and Tobago originally. That's where I'm born. And I came here at 9, 10 to Brooklyn, New York. So I kind of think that I'm mostly both. I want to say a little bit more Brooklyn. As of lately, I just spent more time there. But where I was born was definitely in the Caribbean.
Okay, nice. So if you had to describe yourself with one word, what would that word be and why?
Okay, so I had a lot of different words going through my head, but I had my best friend, who's an English major, put me onto this word a couple of years ago, and he said, I'm idiosyncratic. And I had to look it up because I was like, is this man insulting me? I need to know. But it means basically someone with a lot of different personality traits and quirks. And I was like, oh, I can identify with that. I can see that. Because whenever I try to box myself into a certain term, it never feels like it covers everything, you know? Nice. So that's the word I go.
Nice. So, what you do? You like to do at your own time. Like, what's your favorite thing to do at your own time? Like, when you like relaxing stuff.
In my own time, I end up actually reading a lot of comic books. I end up actually doing a lot of walking. I don't like walking, but I like being outside. I'm gonna be honest with that. And I usually get back into painting or journaling because I love doing both of those. So I have tons of books that I journal in. Not all of them are finished, but you know, it's a fun activity.
Like, you know, I'm a coming back to it. As you can see, it's from the poster.
I can see. I'm actually a really big DC fan too, but it's crazy because I always had problems with keeping up with which storyline was being released, like which series. So I ended up reading all over the place by accident. I'm still trying to sort some of the storylines out for myself.
I try,
but it's really hard. I only so far got a full Hellboy collection. And yeah, that one I'm really proud of, and I have a Poison Ivy like Life and Death series that I finished that I have actually all put together, but most of the plot lines I can't keep up with.
Nice. And I mean, I just started recollecting that as well, so I need to start doing that as well a lot more. So let's talk about your beginning of life. Like, let's talk about like how was you growing up, then how were you are you are now, compared to how you are now.
Okay, then. So I would say starting off, coming to New York definitely shaped a lot of my personality. So I would say back home, I was growing up, not much happened in terms of the personality development. You're around your family, things are relaxed, it's cool, you know, things like that. I came out here and a lot of things were different up front. One, I didn't know I had an accent. You know, I had to find that out from being here that, hey, you have an accent because you know, you're somewhere new. I also was taller than all of my teachers and peers. Because I'm 6 feet now, but like since I was coming up 10, 11, 12, I was already like 5'9", 5'10".
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know that was different because my whole family's tall. Everybody I knew was tall. So it didn't really, like I was the small person in my family, if that makes sense. So I had to adjust to a lot of that into kind of being like, or automatically different or like other. Also being associated with like, oh, okay, well, you're light skinned, so you gotta be Spanish, you gotta be this, you gotta be that. And I was just like, I don't know what's going on over here. I had a lot of things to figure out real quick. I like to think I figured most of it out by now. I like to think that I'm in a place now where I get where my identity begins and ends. and like what about me is from what part of my culture and which part is like more American. But it was definitely a journey, and having to learn that how I express myself is inherently going to be different from my peers because they have a different story from me, and I can relate to what they're going through and they can relate to some things I'm going through, but at the same time, it'll never always be exactly the same.
Nice. And how that made you the person you are today?
Oh, let me hear that question again.
Like, how that made you the person you are today?
I would say for me, it made me look for different types of friends to be around, different types of groups. It made me definitely lean more on my artistic side. So I'm super social. I love cracking jokes. I love being around people. But there was a period where people didn't want that from me. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you're different. You're very different. And we don't know how to adjust to that yet. So for a while, I had to go inside myself and express my own social behaviors to myself. If that makes sense, like, you know, to find a different way to express that.
I get it.
So I was thinking, okay, how I am now as an adult, if I want to go hang out with people, I know what kind of crews and kind of people that would like my energy. I know what kind of art spots would be like, this is great for me to express myself. But I would say coming up when I was younger, I jumped into so many different clubs and activities and different things, just looking to see like, okay, well, where is the people that kind of get what I'm about and what I'm into? So I would say the way crafting my personality is that I am now really into trying a lot of new things. Like, I feel like if I didn't have those experiences, I might have been more closed-minded, but now I'm very much into like, okay, I'm gonna give this a shot. I'm gonna try it out. If it fails, it fails, whatever. I'm still gonna do it anyway, because like, what if it is the thing that makes me feel that way? So I would say it definitely made me more outgoing, and the fact that I'm even on this show, like, for real. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, usually you would say like, oh, something like that is like, what are you doing? You know, but for me, it's like, why not? And then I'm gonna see if I'm into podcast shit, I might be podcast now with this person or like with other people. But I think that's what really opened me up to that, because I wasn't already in a particular clique or a particular group. I was already open-minded to like, well, I'm gonna try a bunch of stuff and I'm gonna try different experiences. I'm gonna see if I like it. So I feel like that's really been a key factor.
So, and I could definitely relate, because I'm the same way. Like, I could definitely, I'm open-minded to try new things. I mean, I've done a lot of new things as it is, you know, having this show, being a promoter, being an actor. Yeah, so I get it. I definitely understand. You definitely say both. So, what inspired you to become an author? You have a book out, co-release. We're going to talk about that a little later, but what inspired you to become an author?
Okay, so I think that's a really good question, because I was thinking for myself too, like, what did make me become an author? I got it for you. It's a kind of a short story. So basically, coming up, I had a lot of different talents that I was into. I did painting, I told you stuff like that, painting, drawing, hosting event shows, stuff like that. And I got to a point where I was like, I have all these poems that I have collected, right? All these stories that I want to tell. Why haven't I put myself out there yet? Right. And I finally had a moment to think in my life. Like, I had a moment to breathe and be like, what is another part of myself I have not expressed yet? Right. I said, I'm writing all these things, but I refuse to share them. What's the point of that? Right. So I said, for me, okay, I'm going to see the book as like, I'm going to get it out there. I'm going to write it. I'm going to take that next step. I'm going to stop holding myself back with that. And well, if I'm an author now, I'm an author now. It is what it is. Like, that was the attitude that I had to develop after a while, because you get to a place as an artist where you have these skills and you kind of hoard them sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you only want your friends to see, you want a certain group to see your Instagram. You don't want like some stranger all the way from Nowhereville, you know, in your sketchbook or in your work. And I had to get to a place where I was like, my expressing of these things and putting it in a book, putting it in a cover is an important step for my development. I got to do that for me, you know? So that was like, we'll push that forward.
I feel you. And you know, you mentioned poetry, so that's a good thing that you mentioned that. What age did you start writing poetry?
Okay, so if you want to talk about seriously writing, I would say probably 14, 15 in high school when I took like a writing class, and I was like, oh, I'm really into this poetry stuff. Everybody hated it. Nobody wanted to do the poem assignment. And I was really into it, and that's when I first started writing. But if you want to dig really deep, technically, since fifth grade, I was writing poetry because I had a wild, insane crush on this dude who had no idea I existed. And I wrote, I think, about 6 poems at that age. Didn't know any better. I was just writing, and I was like, I'm gonna just put them in his bag and run off. And it just like, my mom found them first though. So I didn't get my debut that time, but I definitely was already attracted to writing my feelings down since that age. And I didn't formalize it as poetry until that time in high school. So yeah.
You know what's crazy? I did the same thing. I started writing poetry when I was like 8th grade. So, and I just turned it into writing songs later. But yeah, we got a lot more coming down the door. That's crazy.
But no, I feel like a lot of people are inclined to do poetry, whether or not you think you're good at it, because everyone judges themselves to a certain extent. It's normal and natural to write poetry. Like, I'm not coming out here like, hey, so only I and these 5 guys can write poetry and, you know, I'm a poet and you're not. I feel like a lot of people are gravitated to that is whether or not they continue. A lot of people stop, right? Or like you say, you turn it into sound, song making, or you turn it into something else. But usually it's normal to want to be like, I want my feelings on paper somewhere, or even in your phone, you just want to put it down somewhere.
Yeah. And now you got this book called Release. Like, tell us about what it's about. Tell us about the process of getting that together.
Okay, so in terms of the process was definitely tons of poetry on my phone, all the different phones that I've lost and broken. Thankfully, I saved them to Gmail at one point or another. But throughout the years, I had lots of really strong feelings and experiences. I wouldn't say unique to just to me, but the way I felt about it, I had to write something down. I was doing that all through high school, through my first years in college. And the process was, okay, how do I get these off of my email account at this point and into something that I can present and rap and have a message with in terms of like, why am I doing this? So, okay, so that's about the process. Now about, you said the second part is, what's the book for? Or like,
what's it about?
Okay, so for me, the book was an expression of myself. So as an artist, I told you I came to this point where I wasn't being vulnerable in that kind of way. I was picking and choosing what I wanted to put out there. And when I wrote the book Release, the reason why I named it Release was because I was saying it's time for me to finally put that part of myself out there to release these emotions. What I didn't expect was that people ended up connecting with what I wrote. So I went into it fully expecting to like just make this book, have it be like, yes, I did it, thank you, I got all that stuff out there, all these feelings. And just like put it on a shelf, you know, hide it away somewhere. Like that's something I'm gonna know about myself. But I had a book launch party because I was doing events back then. And a couple other artists pick up my book and started reading it at the event party. And I'm like, oh God, no. I hope they don't see anything like, you know, too exposing. But I had them come to me and be like, you know, I connect with these poems. I feel what you're feeling in here, or I can see like the raw emotion in it. And in that moment I was like, okay, I did do the right thing. But a lot of the poems in there, the reason why I was so nervous to even release it in the first place, to put it out there, was because they're based on my intimate experiences, the emotions I went through, and the things that I feel like humanity itself doesn't feel comfortable sharing with others. So I didn't realize at that time that I was writing it for the other person who also feels the same way. I was being incredibly selfish, obviously, but when I come back to it now, I'm very happy that I did it because I can now speak to other people and be like, you know, it's okay to feel those things and to be that and to be a great person, because the light and love movement is amazing. And I think it's great and it's useful, but it also creates kind of a vacuum where you have to hide certain parts of yourself because they're not acceptable. You know, like if you had a thought or a feeling 5-10 years ago, shit, you gotta be guilty and shameful about that for the rest of your life. And they're just that, a thought, a feeling. You know, you're allowed to embrace that and to have that. So that's why I said the book was really for me to be like, hey, it's okay for me to feel this way and still be, you know, a functioning human being. But as it got out there, I realized I was also doing that for other people. So that's what's really amazing about it.
Okay, nice, nice. And you know, I saw a video of you performing your poetry. And you know, it was really dope, you know, keep seeing your thing. I definitely like the book. But let my audience know, where can they buy the book? Where can they get the book?
Oh, right now the book is on Amazon on paperback. I'm working on making an ebook copy. I tried before and the format was all over the place, so I gotta do a little bit better next time. But right now it's on physical copy on Amazon. If you catch me in any one of these cities, because I'm probably gonna be traveling a lot, I'm gonna be selling physical copies as well to sign, because I love signing my books. I love anyone that buys it, I wanna know what your favorite poem is. I wanna know like what did it do for you, because it's such a mirror to what someone else is experiencing and what they're going through. So I want to also be doing in-person book signings, but for right now, it's only on Amazon, below my name, below release. It's the only one that'll pop up below there, so you shouldn't have a problem finding it.
Hey, nice, man. I gotta get that book myself, so, you know, get this book, y'all.
You get it. I'll sign it. I'll write a whole message. All right.
Let's do it. So, do you have a favorite poet that you look up to? If so, name three.
Okay, so in terms of favorite poets, I don't have like a particular guy I go to or anything like that, but I could tell you who did impact me. I had Lord Byron. He's old school, probably like one of the either 18th, 16th centuries, you know, way back then. And his specialty is love poems. And he had every woman in his era just going wild for him. And they're beautifully crafted. So that was one of them. Another one was the Canterbury Tales. I saw that when I was in high school. It's a book this big that's just straight poetry and storytelling of like one large tale. And I read it in the summer because I'm nerdy, it's fine. But it made me enjoy storytelling, and so did The Odyssey. So The Odyssey isn't a poem per se, but I know it started off as a lengthy poem. Now it's just like written in storybook form. Reading that book as well had me be like, okay, I love this form of poetry. I love the storytelling behind it and the way they don't really hide much from the reader. That was kind of got me on my way. Since then, I've been collecting like pretty macabre or like weird storybooks, like collections of poems that have like different artists, but they all have a similar theme to them. I think those are really fun. I got those at Barnes and Noble for like $5. It was on sale, clearance out. But those are the type of poems and type of artists I'm attracted to. So it's really from any era, any time, and as long as it's good, I love it.
Nice. So you also mentioned in the beginning of the episode that you do art.
You remember that.
I remember that. So what inspired you to start doing that? What inspired you to get into art?
What got me into art? I don't know if anybody ever gets into art. I'm not certain. I haven't met anybody who gets into it, but most people that you meet is usually, I've always been doing this, and I feel that relates to me as well, because coming up from, what we say, pre-K up here, I don't know, it turned out it was standards. In my first standard, my mom told me I was the kind of kid that would go harass the principal about what I drew. Like, like chase him down, like, hey, you gotta look at this, I did this. So I was already very much into art. I got A+ in art since I was younger. I always thought that doing those projects in class was incredibly fun. I get older, my mom blesses me with my first acrylic set, like a paint, like the whole big one that they use for Bob Ross, basically, like the large set. And so that got me onto the painting, like painting acrylics part. But in between, I had picked up tattoo designing, calligraphy, because I had loved the way to write words and like the different ways to make your own font in calligraphy, like to take your time and like figure out your own style and stuff like that. I had got into that. All of this was in like high school. So I can say I've been doing art for a while in the sense of like practicing, but for me, I can't sit here and be like, well, I'm an acrylic painter or like I'm a tattoo designer, because overall I'm a creator and an artist. I get in and out of the things that I want to create. So yes, I had that phase where I got really, really good at it. And yeah, I might have sold some, but you're not going to catch me doing that right this second. Like, that's not where my heart is right now. I've got through phases with making tutariums, making crowns. I made crowns before people wanted to buy off my head, and I was like, hey, this is mine, get away. You know, and I always tried to like monetize it and be like, okay, maybe I can start making crowns, because like I seen people on Instagram literally take some of my crown designs when I was younger. One of the designs that I did, and I was like, well, if she can do it, I can do it. I wasn't mad about it. I was like, hey, art is art. It wasn't that serious to me back then. But I was like, maybe I could do that too. And I realized the minute I tried to monetize it, my brain was like, this isn't a hobby anymore. You've ruined it. And then the interest just goes away. So the only one that still really has me on some, I can share this, be an artist, and not have to worry about my creative process being affected, is writing. Because I can write it today and then deal with publishing it tomorrow. I don't have to like immediately get up and be like, I got to mark this, I got to price this like immediately and get it all out there on the Etsy or whatever. So the art thing has definitely been long going. It's still a personal hobby, but I don't think I'll ever be in the way that it's like, okay, well, this art is what's paying for my dinner tonight, or it's what's paying my rent today.
I got it. So I gotta change my question a little bit. What is your goal for your poetry?
What is my what?
What's your goal for your poetry?
For my poetry, what is my goal? My goal is to keep giving the raw expression of myself, because I've noticed that, okay, you get online, and I'm ranting a little bit here. You get online and it's very easy to compare your content to other people, to compare your progress to other people. And I love what I see online with other people making like transformative work that's to help people, like helpful poetry, like your milk and honeys and your transformations, like, you know, they're really helpful to the reader. To me, mine is more about normalizing expressing certain versions of yourself. So for me, the first book was like some of the more toxic behaviors people have given me, and I've given back some of my more toxic things and traits. I want to continue on that route of expressing those type of things and continue to give my raw, authentic opinion. So anything that I'm writing on is going to be unfiltered from me in that way, because I think people deserve to read stuff like that. Too often you get a censored version of something because it's supposed to be marketable. It's supposed to be easy to digest, you know, and art is meant to be powerful and impactful. You know, and like art all has different, it has different meanings to everyone, different purposes. Like I said, those things have their place, and I buy them too, I read them too. But I want for myself to always be like, well, if I'm making this book, I am expressing an authentic part of myself, and that needs to go out there. Because I know that for whoever it is, the 1 out of 100th person, they're going to connect with that, and it's going to encourage them to also be authentic in themselves in that kind of way. But ultimately, still being selfish, it's about me.
And, you know, don't, and you know, keep doing your thing. You're doing amazing things. Your art is, and your poetry. So keep doing your thing. Mm-hmm. So we gonna change up a little bit. And as you know, we are in a pandemic. I guess we are still in a pandemic. It's hard to tell these days. So my question to you is: how did the pandemic affect you, and what did you learn from it?
Okay, that's a great question. For me, at the beginning of the pandemic, like right before they announced, hey, you gotta get your ass home if you work in certain jobs. Like, I worked in one of those jobs. I was in a job that they were like, we're closed. Like, it's a 16, go home, right? And right before they announced that, I was gearing up to get a promotion at my job. I was gonna put in more hours, more time. I had kind of got caught in the rat race, if that makes sense. Like, even though I was deeply into art in college, by the time I got out, now was the focus on, holy shit, bills. Like, I have responsibilities. I have things I need to get done. I need to like progress at my job. I need to find a place that I have a career, like things like that. And when the pandemic came and I was home, of course, the first couple of months, you're terrified. Like, you don't know what's going on. Everything is wild. But as there's a certain amount of consistency that came with it, because I did have the ability to stay in my house, thankfully. So as the consistency came with it, then came, what was I really about to do? What was I really about to get into? I know that wouldn't have led me to a happy lifestyle. That wouldn't have made me happy 20 years from now, right? So I took that time to think and to start journaling again. And then when I was like, I have a book I stopped talking about. I have events that I don't do anymore. I'm not connecting with people in the way that I want to connect with them. I'm going to work and coming home. Like, that's, I can't believe that's what I've been put here on earth to do. Just that, you know? Yeah. And the people who love their career, you should always look for the place that you're going to be happy at. But I was like, I knew the place I was at wasn't my my long-term happiness, if that makes sense.
So, I definitely
And it's great because in that sense, it's valuable to have time to think. Because honestly, if you're not someone who can afford very long vacations, that was the first time I had a moment to stop and be like, wait, what am I really doing and what am I trying to do? I have all these things that I'm not using. So in the middle of the pandemic, towards the time when people were trying to celebrate again, I had got into doing Zoom paint and sips with family, with like friends of family, because they kept passing my name around like, hey, she's doing that right now, let's do that together. And it was a great opportunity to connect again and to be like, well, why am I not trying to live as an artist? Like, why am I so quick to run a stable paycheck instead of finding a way to make this work? Like, even if I don't fully understand it, like, I'm not a marketing whiz, I'm not, like, that's not what I specialize in, but I should at least try, you know? Like, if I'm gonna go back to work at some point, I should at least make this half of my day, some of my day, like, something, versus absolutely nothing, like, no interest in it whatsoever. So I would say it gave me a time to breathe and to think, and then to cherish the connections I had with people, because in that time, I had stopped seeing my friends. At least now I was calling them again. At least now I was, like, trying to, like, reconnect with people in a sincere way. And I feel like as terrible as it is, and it was at that time, because it was scary to not know what's going to happen tomorrow. It was the first time that I felt like I got to sit down and think within myself, and to kind of map out, well, after all this is done, if it gets to be done, especially back then we didn't know if it was going to be done, you know, who would I like to be after that, and how would I like to reconnect with that side of myself? It gave me time to think, and I felt like if that hadn't happened, I probably wouldn't have had that awakening for maybe, what, 5 more years, just like on a train in New York, like something's not right. Something's not right, but I don't know what, because you really do need that moment for self-dialogue. And I got to reread my own book, and I was like, wow, I'm pretty cool. So I think that was what it did for me, what I learned from it.
And it's funny, because I had a similar story, you know, being at a job for 10 years, not being happy there, and then when it came, I was on furlough, and then my whole job closed down. I was putting out of business. I was like, what am I going to do? That's why I kind of made this whole thing more serious. They got the whole mic and everything. I didn't have no mic before, so I had to step on my game. So yeah, I completely get it. It's more you can learn something that you want to do, that you want to do more than something that you know that you would not be happy doing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And the sad thing is that it wasn't like I was bad at it. I was good at the job that I did. It was just, is this enough to fulfill me? You know, and at this point, I'm getting to a place where it's like, no, I might not be able to be 124-hour freelance artist, you know, but I should never stop trying to express myself in that way. And I think that's what a lot of us do when we get out of high school, college, or whatever phase that you stopped personally. You stop looking for a way to express yourself. You drop having hobbies. You drop having that thing that makes you feel nice inside. And by the time you remember you had a thing, you can't connect with it anymore. Because it's been so long, right? It's hard to find that new thing. So I was really happy that I got caught before I lost all connection to it. And I feel like for almost everybody, that should be a priority of some sort. Even if it's an hour a day, 20 minutes a day, you're sketching on the way to work, whatever it is that you do that makes you happy. I feel like it's very easy to lose touch with that, given the way everyone treats money and business right now. Like, it's like, if you're doing this, you gotta be making money from it, man. It gotta be paying some bill. It cannot just be for your amusement. Your amusement does not matter. Like, either you're grinding at this corporation, Inc., whatever, or you're grinding at your, you're doing digital art. You're doing something that has to be earning an income, and it cannot just be for fun. And I feel like we've kind of lost touch with that as a society. Like, you only see fun as maybe hanging out, partying, you know, going to the lounge, doing certain activities. But like, art being fun has been kind of lost in a sense.
Yeah, especially more of a business than what you just passion. I definitely get it. So let's get back to more brighter notes. Let's get back to more brighter notes. Mm-hmm. So what is your dream venture? Something that you always want to do?
Okay, so I know that one now. My dream thing when I was younger was to open up an art school, because I wanted to be there to help other people find what their thing was, because so often you meet kids who are just like, I can't this, I can't draw, I can't that, like anything. As I got older, now my dream is to have a venue, a store, a location where I can encourage and promote other artists to bring their work. Because I did a couple events in New York when I was still there, and bringing a platform for people to come and express themselves is amazing. You get to see them do something that they didn't think they could do before, possibly, because it's like, how would I get access to something like that? I want to be able to have a store where I can say, hey, this wall is for artists, to feature them, and also a place to like put my own stuff when I'm done with it. To be like, okay, I created this thing and it's there, and to give people that opportunity too. So it's like, you don't have to feel the pressure of selling your own work. It sells itself. Because one of the events I was at that I hosted, we put this guy's work up. He went to go smoke. Like, he went outside real quick. And I think because he doesn't have like the marketing part down, which I understand, neither do I. And people was walking up to stuff like, I want that in my living room. Like, I want that. And how much is it? And I'm sitting here texting him like, how much is it? I'm trying to get these guys to buy it from you. But I realized that is something that a lot of us artists can suffer from, where it doesn't mean we're not social, doesn't mean we can't communicate. But when it comes to, you know, getting that last part of the deal where it's like, buy my thing, we don't want to be present for that. We don't want to be a part of that process. So it would be nice to have a place where you could be like, okay, I know this person's going to handle it. I'm not going to get swindled. I'm not going to get like, oh, we lost your art somewhere. Because I've been on the other end of a lot of these things, so I know what it feels like. So I can say, okay, well, I want to provide a different environment for other people to enjoy and to do those things. So that's like the long-term goal.
Nice, nice. And you know, anything possible, you can put your mind to work hard, and anything is possible, do it. So what other projects do you got going on?
Other projects, let me see. I'm still doing the pay and sip Zooms because they're, you know, I have a laptop and I know how to paint. So that's always a really fun one. I'm still doing that. I'm starting on my second book now.
Okay, nice, nice.
Yeah, I'm in the process of trying to find someone to market my first book so I can get away from that. Because like I said, it's very straightforward what my book is for and what it does. For people who enjoy reading, who enjoy connecting with their emotions, it's gonna connect with them. I don't feel like I have to sell that or like push that because it's an interpersonal experience. But to have someone handle that part, I'm looking for that while I'm also pursuing and writing my second book because I have a couple different ideas in my head that I want to get on paper already. But yeah. It's hard to be making content and also typing, you know, two different things at the same time. So I'm trying to balance both those aspects and continue to push forward to make more art that people can enjoy.
Nice. And what do you have to say for anybody that's going to stand around with you? Like, things are inspirational.
So everyone that wants to what? Sorry.
What do you have to say for anybody going the same route as you?
Like, same route?
Like, there's an inspiration.
I can definitely handle that one. So maybe just a couple of weeks ago, I met another woman who was making a poetry book. It was just on her laptop as well. And I tried to help her edit some of the themes and to be there for her. I gave her my editor because I was like, take him. You know, he's not doing anything right now. And I have no problem helping other people come forward because it's not a competition.
Yeah.
We're not competing with each other. Like, there's tons of books that come out every year. There's tons of audiences. We're not in competition with each other. Your market and my market are probably different people. And even if they were the same people, who cares? They need more content. So my advice for that is definitely don't be afraid to ask questions and to ask people in your circle for help because you really don't know who's going to pull up and who's not. So for me personally, on my route, you would think, oh, it's going to be like your sister or your mother or your intimate friends in your personal life. But honestly, most of the time, their stuff doesn't align with what you need. So it's not weird to contact a stranger, especially on a business deal or someone that you know remotely. So like I knew someone remotely in a whole different state when I was online back then, right? I'm posting my work and they ended up being an illustrator. And I was like, I need illustrations. I need illustrations. Sorry, I'm like talking like, hey, how much you gonna take for that? And you know, we started that conversation and then, you know, we did all the proper paperwork and they helped me with my book. My friend who got his writing degree, I was like, you trying to edit and, you know, move from there. A lot of times, you just got to think outside the box. You know what I'm saying? You don't always have to, if you don't have the budget for that, if you don't have the time for that, don't be afraid to have other creatives come in and add their spice to your work because you're not a one-man army in that kind of way, you know? Like the ideas are still mine, the writing is still mine, but to reflect and create with other artists is part of the process and to be able to at least say, know and say when you need help and then do something about it.
Okay, good advice. So before you go, we're going to play a segment game. A game called five random topics. Five topics and you give me an answer. Basically, it could be long, it could be short, it could be long. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so what is your favorite era of music? Like, your favorite era of music? Like, 80s, 90s?
I would say the 2000s. I still listen to 90s and I definitely love new music. I know that sounds crazy, but... I like all of it, but if I had to listen to the same playlist on repeat, I probably could still do the 2000s.
Nice, nice. So what is your go-to movie to watch?
What is my go-to movie? Wildly enough, I'm not that into movies. I've watched tons of movies. Don't get me wrong. I've watched tons of cinema. I've been forced to watch media with my friends. But I'm more into like a particular genre. So I'm more into like watching, I would say action-y thriller or science and documentaries. I don't have like a movie I can sit down and watch over and over. Like that doesn't really do it for me.
Okay, got it. What one talent that you wish you could have?
I don't know if this counts as a talent, but having arched feet would be a talent. Oh my God. All right. So yeah, singing, dancing, all that stuff is really great. But like, I want to be able to stand on my own feet for more than a couple of hours without being in pain. So if that's a talent, I'll take it.
I'll feel you on that. What is one place you wish you could go vacation?
Definitely the Maldives or Italy. The Maldives because it looks like the dream vacation. I feel like I deserve it. And Italy because I found out my last name is a village in Italy and I want to go there. I want to see it. I want to be in person. It's in Kasich. Maybe that's where we got it from, the last name. You know, being from the Caribbean, you don't really know where your last names come from. So I thought that was really interesting and I want to see it for myself.
That's dope. That's dope. And last one. What celebrity do you want to meet? You can name one, maybe five, three, no matter.
You said celebrity?
Yeah. What celebrity do you want to meet?
I feel like when I was younger, I had people like probably wanted to meet, but I guess at this age, surprisingly enough, it would be 2 Chainz or Little John.
Oh wow!
And I'll tell you why. For me, when I was going through college, I had both of those artists on repeat to finish almost all my work. When I got my first internship, I'd have headphones on and I'm like going away at the computer and I had both of them there. And it was, that music actually really kept me going a lot. I would even say Waka Flocka was on that list for a while, but I ran into him in New York by accident. So I crossed him off my list. We didn't talk. I just stared at him, he stared at me and I was like, I'm gonna leave before he gets mad. But I have those two left on there because in terms of their music, it was a really big part of my life. Most people don't assume that I listen to them, I guess, but I like them.
Nice, dope, dope. And Ms. Bonna, well, thank you for coming on the show. You're killing it.
Yes.
You know, I definitely got your book, Bohaya, and yeah, you're killing it right now. Thank you for coming on. big thing.
It was tons of fun, and honestly, I love the questions that you asked. They're like thought-provoking. So thank you so much, Ken.
Thank you. And before you go, I did need you to drop all your social media where they can reach you, and let me know where everybody can reach your book.
Okay, so my Instagram handles are my name to make it super easy, Vonna Vello. You can find me on there. All my stuff with my poetry is on there. I'm on TikTok too, as well as Vonna Vello. And I'm going to continue doing recordings of my poetry and also sharing the updates on my book. So anyone interested in that or what I'm up to currently can go on there to go find that. The book is still on Amazon and I will be looking to other platforms to put them on for everyone who wants to e-read. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. And we'll be right back.
All right, bye.
Hello, everybody. This is your boy, Ken, a.k.a. Mr. Gentleman. Now, I am the host of Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast. And this commercial break is brought to you by Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast presents Spinoff Series Thursdays. And Spinoff Series Thursday is the new home for Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast Spinoff Series. That brought to you shows like A Conversation About News Podcast, The Old School Show, and Date Night Talk Podcast. And A Conversation About Music Podcast is a music spinoff series where we talk about anything music, from the current music scene and the old school music scene, where we interview many guests that's in the music industry and artists about their music journey. We have a segment game called The Face Off, which is a versus inspired game, and we have roundtable discussion about variety of music topics. And y'all can check out A Conversation About Music Podcast every first Thursday at 12 a.m. Now, The Old School Show that featured myself and the star Roddy Rod is a show where we discuss anything old school, from music, TV shows, movies, and many more. We also bring in guests to join in on the old school conversation. Y'all can check out The Old School Show with myself and the star Roddy Rod every fourth Thursday at 12 a.m. And last but not least, we have Date Night Talk Podcast with myself and Miss Vanna B, where we talk about anything relationship related topics like love, dating, relationships, cheating, the good and the bad, and many more. And y'all can check out this spin-off series, Date Night Talk Podcast, every second and third Thursday at 12 p.m. So look out for Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast Presents Spin-off Series Thursday, a conversation about music podcasts every first Thursday. The Old School Show with myself and the star Righty Rod every fourth Thursdays, and Date Night Talk Podcast with myself and Miss Vanna B every second and third Thursdays. And y'all can check out Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast every Sundays for the main series and every Thursday for spin-off series Thursdays. And thank y'all for checking out this commercial break. And now back to your regularly scheduled program. Cheer! I just want to take time to thank everybody for tuning into the new episode. Thanks to my best guest, Miss Vanna Vella, for coming to the show. Everybody get her book released. It's out now. It's an amazing book. I got to pick it up myself. So support it. Yeah, support her book. She's doing a big thing. Can't wait to bring her back on the show when she took my second book. So, yeah. Y'all already know where I'm at every Sunday at 12 a.m. With the gentleman like the podcast every Sunday at 12 a.m. We're on Anchor, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Good Pod, TuneIn, and many more. We are not on Spotify at the moment. I repeat, we are not on Spotify at the moment. But once we settle the issue, we'll be back on the platform real soon. So be patient. We will be back real soon. Check out the schedule for the Gym Like the Pocket every first Sunday at 12 a.m. A conversation about music podcast every first Sunday at 12 a.m. A conversation about music podcast. The latest episode with Be Wise is out now, so check it out. Next episode on a conversation about music, we got Banga official back on the show. We're gonna talk more about her new journey, and she bringing us a new project, so look out for that. Next week is the season 4 finale of Mr. Jim Like the Podcast. Next week is the season 4 finale of Mr. Jim Like the Podcast. And y'all already know, I will be talking about, you know, a story. Y'all already know on the finale, I'll talk about it in the personal episode. So I'm going to open up to y'all about more stories. So look out for that. And every fourth or fifth Sunday, the Old School Show with myself and the star writer Rod. This month, though, is the season finale of the Old School Show. Disney movies. Guests for this episode not confirmed yet, but once we get some update on that, we will let y'all know. Guess it's not confirmed yet, but we will let you know. Also, each and every, you know, check out on Wednesday, we got the Premiere One Podcast with myself, the star writer Rod, star writer Rod, maybe, and Long Little Chief Mally Mount. New episodes return this Wednesday at 12 a.m. New episode return this Wednesday at 12 a.m., so look out for that. And also, look out for King Talk with Aaron Sands, the Bro Podcast Show, Mr. Aaron Sands Podcast Show. I'm executive producer of that show. King Talk returns this Friday at 12 a.m. and every other Friday. So yeah, look out for it. And check out my website, Mr. Gentleman Like the Pocket website at MrGentlemanLikeThatPocket.com. I repeat, MrGentlemanLikeThatPocket.com. If y'all want to be a guest on my show, I am taking guests for season 5 right now. I am taking guests for season 5 next right now. Send me a bio about yourself and everything that you do to my email, kenypgent@gmail.com. kenypgent@gmail.com. I'm also looking for guests for a conversation about music podcasts, the Old School Show, and even the new show, Mr. Gentleman Like the Pocket Presents, Date Night Talk. So, ladies, single taken, and you want to be on the show, send me a bio about yourself and everything that you do. Follow me on social media, all platforms, Ken underscore Mr. Gentleman. I repeat, Ken, K-E-N underscore Mr. M-R, Gentleman, G-E-N-T-L-E-M-A-N. Y'all already know each and every Saturday at 12 a.m. Best Saturday party at 12 a.m. at Taj, 48 West 41st Street, 25th and 6th. Say premiere at the door, table reservation only, proof of vaccination, yeah. And yeah, and also season 5, Bitch and Like the Podcast, season 5 is coming real soon. I will announce season 5 release date next Sunday at 12 a.m. on the season finale of Mr. Jim and Like the Podcast. So yeah, and once again, thank y'all for tuning into this new episode, and have a good day or night wherever you listen to this episode.
My name is Jonathan, and you are now listening to Mr. Gentleman Lifestyle Podcast.